Well, he said if I allowed him to pick on me, I could pick on him, but I'm going to be the bigger man. Now, it is a tremendous pleasure and an honor to be able to speak at camp. It is a nerve-wracking experience, especially among so many friendly and some hostile faces. But it is wonderful to be at camp, and I want to encourage you to keep it going, keep it growing. God has used camp in my life many times. When I was 15 years old, it was at a preacher's meeting down in Indiana, where I went forward and received a baton. One of the last ones to go down there, because I was holding on to my chair like this, because I told the Lord I already privately surrendered to Him. But He told me in my heart, I knew He wanted me to go forward and make it public. And that was when I was 15 years old. And God has just opened doors and done far more for me than I deserve. And I'm sure all of us could attest to that. God is far greater to us than we deserve. I love the fact that the song that the ladies sang, that there's still the opportunity to meet the Lord at the foot of the cross. And I know that's for salvation, but I am so thankful that even this morning I could spend a little bit of time at the foot of the cross and have the Lord comfort my heart and speak to me. And, you know, my life has not been one of perfection. Far from it. We could talk later about all the flaws and failures. And some of you have known me for a very long time and know some of those flaws and those failures. But I am sure glad for God's amazing grace. And when Pastor Grohl asked me last year to speak at Senior Week for one of the chapels, I said, all right, if that's what you want. So here we go. If it's not good or you don't get anything out of it, it's his fault. All right, see? No. I think you'll get something out of God's word. If you have a heart that is ready to receive, that is one of those things, whenever God's word is open, it doesn't matter who's speaking or how long the conversation is or how long the message is. It could be a 5-minute devotional, and God can really tug on your heart and change things in your life. I remember at camp, there are still sermons that echo, or portions of sermons that echo in my mind and in my heart from times at camp. And then my wife and I have been married 17 years in November, this coming November. And God's blessed us with children. God's blessed me far more than I deserve. I have wonderful wife, wonderful children, wonderful father-in-law. And pastor, I have to say that, right? No, I truly respect him, admire him, and have enjoyed being able to serve with him these many years. But if you have your Bibles this morning, which I hope you all do, I want to look with you at Psalm 46 for just a moment. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 12 as well. The title of the message this morning is Be Still While Still Running. Be still while still running. In Psalm 46, where we get our theme for this year, be still and know that I am God. Let's read verses 10 and 11. It says this in Psalm 46, 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Let me pray with you, and then we'll dive right in, all right? This message is going to, we talked about this in our theme last year, and I'll get to that in just a moment, but let's pray, and we'll dive right in. Heavenly Father, it is good to be able to be at camp today. I thank you for the messages we have already heard. I thank you for the songs that we've been able to sing, and the specials that we've been able to hear, and how you've already tugged on hearts and touched hearts. I pray, God, that as we go through this day and go through this week, that it wouldn't just be a momentary touching or a momentary tugging, but, Lord, you would truly change something in all of our hearts, that would last the rest of our life. Lord, you would protect these teenagers, help them to make decisions, even as we heard last night about which table they're going to sit at. Lord, I pray that they would choose your table. And I pray, God, that you'd use me this morning. Lord, you know the notes I have down on paper. But God, I give you my mind, I give you my body, I give you my mouth, I give you my everything to be able to be used as you see fit to say the things that you want said to these, your people, your teens, and the folks here today. And Lord, that you would touch our hearts and help us to be still while still running. In your name we pray, amen. Psalm 46 and verse 10 is where we get our theme for this year, be still and know. You know, the idea of being still, though, does not necessarily only mean to stop. Our theme last year was running your race with patience. Running your race with patience. Hebrews chapter 12, keep a finger in Psalm 46 as we're going to come back there. But I want to remind you, I think it's good for us to not just have the yearly theme and then forget about it from year to year, but actually remembering some of the themes from years past. 2019 was a big year. The theme for that year was renew. That is what was mentioned in the interview, and others have talked about it on campus. And that was the year where the Lord, the Holy Spirit, really spoke to hearts. And if you were here, you know what a blessing that was. What a blessing it was. But you know, I believe 2024 and 2025, should the Lord tarry, can be just as sweet and just as special. And God can speak to hearts. But Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Aren't you glad that you don't have to be the author of your own faith? You don't have to be the finisher of your own faith. You just need to rest and be still in the author and the finisher of your faith. And he can help you to run that race that he has called you to do. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Those are our verses that we're going to kind of springboard off or jump off of here, if you would. Back in Psalm chapter 46, where we get our theme, there's some wonderful promises and some wonderful truths. I want to look with you, turn back to Psalm 46, keep your finger, we'll be flipping back and forth a little bit in Hebrews chapter 12, but Psalm 46 and verse number 1, I love this verse. We sing it at our church. "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Selah. Look with me, verse number 7. "The Lord of hosts is with us." That Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies, the Lord, the commander of everything is with us. And you know, when you have someone on your side that is bigger, it doesn't matter how big the enemy is. If the one on your side, the commander, is bigger, you can just stand behind the commander. You can be behind, and he can be that refuge. This is why we can be still, and we can know that he is God, because he is our refuge. He is that shelter or protection from danger or distress. Sometimes he leads us into areas that make our flesh and make our spirit feel distressed and feel challenged. But you know what? He is a very present help in trouble. There is nothing that God brings you to that he will not lead you through. There is nothing that God leads you to that he will not be with you through it. So this, we can be still. Last year, we talked about running our race, and we looked at a character, and I'd like to look with you at the same character again. Pastor Grohl asked me to talk about and to preach on what we discussed last year at Junior Week. The character is Joseph, a familiar character. I trust everybody in the room has read of the life of Joseph. I'm not talking about Joseph and Mary. I'm talking about Old Testament Joseph, right? Now, does anybody remember, was Joseph's life pristine and perfect? You know, never a discouraging moment, never a hard time. I mean, from young to old, it was just never discouragement. No, in fact, when Joseph was 17 years old, his brothers hated him. His brothers hated him so much that they wanted to kill him. Now, I know I was a teenager. We all were teenagers once. That sometimes 17-year-olds can get into, we can be best of friends and then mortal enemies, right? Usually that's with siblings, right? They can be best of friends 1 minute and then mortal enemies the next. They get in a little fight and a skirmish and then they're best of friends again. Joseph's brothers, it wasn't just some petty little fight. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. So they throw him into the pit, and they leave him there. And one of his brothers decides and says, you know, what profit is there if we kill him? We don't want him around anymore. We want to get rid of him. But let's make something out of this deal. And so they sell him. Now, think about it. I don't think anybody in the room is hated by anybody else in the room or disliked by anybody else in the room enough that you would either want to see them dead or you would want to sell them off. I would hope not. As Christians, we really shouldn't be that way, right? If it is, we need to have a conversation. But Joseph knows what it's like to go through that and have his brothers, his own flesh and blood, hate him to a point where they want him dead, they want to sell him. But one of the things that I am always amazed when we get to the story of Joseph, and there are sections in Scripture that when you get to it, or at least when I get to it, I'm like, oh yes, I love this segment. Joseph is one of those characters. Because I'd love to have the character of Joseph. I think all of us should strive to have the character of Joseph. Because one thing about Joseph that made him able to be faithful no matter what he was in, whether he was in the pit, the prison, or the palace, Joseph was faithful. And the reason for that, I believe, is because of our theme this year. He was still. Now, that did not mean that he quit. That did not mean that he gave up. He didn't sit in the prison or in the pit and go, woe is me. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. My brothers hate me. And boy, I don't know what this is going to do. What ended up happening, and you know the story with Joseph, is he ends up finding favor in Potiphar's house and is placed as the top servant in Potiphar's house. In fact, in order for him to get demoted from that position, Mrs. Potiphar has to spread some lies about him. He is so faithful. He is so faithful, no matter where he is. When he goes into prison, he's not contemplating the moment that he gets out and he can go and kill Potiphar or his wife, or seek his revenge. No, he's not seeking revenge. He's still in his mind because he knows the one that he trusts. Amen. And you know, the truth is, you and I this morning can be still no matter what course God has us run. I have talked with a number of folks over the last year, 6 months to a year, we try to encourage one another in the Lord and try to encourage one another in the ministry. And what is amazing to me is how much discouragement in the ministry there is. And I don't want to paint the ministry in a bad light or anything. So pastors, don't get your stones out yet to stone me. But you have to admit, there is stress, there is difficulty, there are many sleepless nights weeping over discouraging things that happen in the ministry. And you know, at points in our life, you may get to a point where you just want to quit. I want to encourage you, don't quit.
Amen.
Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. No matter how long you've been serving the Lord, serve Him a little bit more. And if you're just starting out, don't let that phrase discourage you from surrendering. There is no greater joy than knowing that you are in the center of God's will. There's no greater joy to know that. But I don't want to paint it like, oh, you're never going to have troubles. You're never going to have discouragement. Some of the discouragement, and Pastor Jocelyn even said it this morning in the devotions, that some of the people that have hurt him the most in the past have been Christians. These things ought not be, but let's not be dumb. They happen. And there's discouraging things where we might want to quit, but I want to encourage you, run the race that God's given you. Run it with patience like we talked about last year. But also, don't forget last year as we be still. That doesn't mean just stand still and wait. That means be doing what God wants you to be doing. Be still in your mind, even though things, like Psalm 46 says, even though the waters may be raging, and even though there may be stressful things, even though there may be difficulties and troubles, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And so in that same passage of Scripture, that is why we can be still and know that He is God. And the race that He gives you to run, He's going to give you the strength to endure. The race that He gives you to run, He's going to... Now, you may feel like me. There is no way. There's no... How can you do that? I remember at 15, I remember standing there. I knew God wanted me to go forward. And I had surrendered and I'd said to the Lord, you know, no matter what you want me to do, I'm willing to do it. But then there came that time where He said, I want you to go forward and I want you to surrender to full-time service. I didn't know the when, I didn't know the how, I didn't know the where, or any of those things. But I remembered I needed to take that first step of surrender. And then you know what? The Lord guides every step. The Bible says this, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and He delighteth in His ways. I want to give you three things this morning about still being still while still running your race. The very first thing is this, don't run the race at your own pace. Don't run the race at your own pace. The definition for a pace is a step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, or the idea of the pace that is set in a race. You know, Pastor Mike in the chapel yesterday talked about some runners in the Olympics, and I apologize, I am not a very big avid Olympic watcher or sports person. I love football because that's the only sport where you're legally able to smash into each other. I love that, all right? But you can't do that in a marathon, right? You can't take the baton and as you're running, go poof, right? You can't do that. They usually frown on that, and you hear that disqualification thing. But you know, different races require different paces. I believe he talked about the one that did the 100 meters. There's a different pace if you're going to run 100 meters versus 1,500 meters. You don't just shoot right out of the gate when you do the 1,500. I know enough about it to know that. But letting God set the pace. You know, sometimes I remember several pastors in my life telling me this, that God is not in as big of a hurry as you are. And at first glance and at first thought, I'm thinking, but I want to serve Him now. I want to get to the next thing now. But you know what? There are some things along the way in the different sections and the different places that God has you that he teaches you to prepare you for the next one and the next step. This is why the great leaps are not ordered by the Lord. It's the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. I want to encourage you with this and challenge you with this all at the same time. Man, whatever God tells you to do, do it. Amen. Do it. And have excitement about doing it. But let him determine the when, the where, and the hows. Let him determine it, because the Bible still tells us this: except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, there are some times where God will ask you to do something that feels like, whoa, 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 that's not a step, Lord. That's a giant leap. If God tells you to do it, jump, because he will catch you. And he will cause your steps to continue in the right direction. But I don't want to take any jumps off buildings unless the Lord tells me, jump off that point. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Don't run at your own pace. I remember as a kid, I couldn't wait to be a teenager, because teenagers, we always looked up to the teenagers. You know, when you're in the junior youth group, you look at the teenagers and you go, wow, teenagers are awesome. And then you become a teenager and you go, wow, I don't feel awesome. I feel real awkward and weird, right? But the little kids always looking to get to the teen group. And then teenagers, I can't wait to drive. I can't wait to get married. I can't wait. You know what? It's better. It's better for you to just wait and let God set the pace for all of that stuff. Let God set the pace. And you know who he uses to help set the pace? Your parents. Your parents. Your pastor. Your youth pastor. Your Sunday school teacher. Oh, no, those are the people that always put hurdles in front of me. And they tell me, slow down, wait, don't. They tell me to wait. And they're not trying to hurt you or discourage you. They're trying to help you to set the right pace. Man, when you're running your race, don't set your own pace. You know, Joseph didn't set his own pace. Do you think Joseph, when he's sitting there and he's laying there and he has those dreams, he doesn't fully understand all the dreams mean, but do you think that he thought, wow, yeah, I can see how being in a pit is really going to get my brother's sheaves to bow down to me, right? Do you think he thought when he went into prison, wow, what about this dream of sheaves bowing and the sun and the moon and all these different things? What are these dreams? I have this dream that I had. Do you think that he might have wondered what in the world the pit and the prison, how he would get to the palace from the pit and the prison? You know what? I don't think Joseph necessarily worried about all of that stuff. He just trusted that whatever God had him go through, whatever pace God set, he was going to follow. And whether that's being from the pit to being a servant in Potiphar's house, all right, if this is where God has me, I'm going to be the best servant I can be. All right, if I'm in prison, he finds favor. He finds favor with the jailer. And he puts him in charge of the other prisoners. I mean, you want to talk about a faithful guy and somebody who is still in mind and heart and just trusting God. I don't know that I would necessarily have picked the pace that Joseph had. But man, it worked out well for Joseph. Joseph didn't run at his own pace. He was 13 when he was thrown in the pit and sold off into slavery. He's 30 when he stands before Pharaoh. You know, we can get focused on our own timing and our own steps and wanting to get to a certain point. But I want to encourage you to step back, be still, and let God be your strength. Let God be your refuge. Let God be your pace setter with the pace setters that He's placed in your life. The next thing is, don't run in your own power. Many times we're tempted to trust our own power. Tempted to trust our own power. Like, yeah, you know what? I've run this before. I've run that before. I've done this before. But you know, the truth is, you and I need the power of God in our life. You and I need the power of God in our life. We need His Holy Spirit to guide us. And we need His power and His strength. You know, in Joseph's life, in prison, he interpreted the dreams of the butler and the baker. But even in that, he didn't say, you know what, I've got this thing for dreams. You know, and I understand dreams, and I get it, and you know, it's just my gift. He wasn't promoting himself. He just had an opportunity to speak for God and interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker, not knowing that just a couple years later, he's going to stand before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh's going to have had a dream. And when he stands before Pharaoh, Joseph doesn't say, well, it's about time that I got to where I belong. And you know, I have this amazing ability to tell dreams. He just says, you know what? His words in Genesis chapter 41 and verses 15 and 16, when he's there before Pharaoh, and Pharaoh says that I've heard it said that you can interpret dreams. He said, oh, it's not in me. It's not in me. God shall give the interpretation. He doesn't run at his own pace. He's not trusting his own power. He recognizes and realizes where the true power comes from. And today, young person, remember where the true power comes from. It's not from yourself. Your strength, your physical strength will fade. Your physical strength will fade. Now, I know I'm not the oldest one in the room. And I know, nickname, whatever. But I'm 40, all right? Now, to some, that's like, oh, ancient. To some of you, I'm still a kid. But I do know this, that I have aches and pains now that I didn't have when I used to run around at camp. I've got a foot. I don't know what is the issue with it. I don't know if it's just getting old. But I took our teenagers to a dodgeball event. The month before that, we went to a trampoline park. And wow, I hurt for a couple weeks after the trampoline park. I'm trying to walk like, what's that word, swanky, right? I'm trying to walk like I'm still strong, but inside I'm like, oh my goodness, I'm never going to step on a trampoline ever again in my life. Now, I probably will because I'm that dumb, but I don't know if I injured it there or if it's a combination from that and the dodgeball tournament. And I remember in the dodgeball, placing my foot in such a way that I don't think it was meant to be that way. And so walking on it, you know, you might say, man, I've done that. Yeah, well, when you're 16, 17, 18, 19, you can run into a brick wall. I've seen teenagers do that, right? Run into a brick wall just to impress your friend. Whew. Brother Wagon Shoots, you want to have a competition with me and we'll run into the back wall, right? Man, it would hurt for months, right? But that physical strength fizzles out. And if your only trust is in your physical strength, when the troubles come and the waters are raging right now, you might think, oh man, your biggest trouble right now, and I'm not trying to minimize, there's probably big troubles amongst the teenagers, but a lot of times the biggest trouble is Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram battles. Well, they liked my post, but they didn't. What's up with that? Do you realize that they get the troubles and trials in life get a lot bigger than that? And if you haven't learned to run the race that God has set for you, while you're still in your mind and in your heart, trusting in His strength, when those times come, you're going to want to quit too. But I want to encourage you, I don't know every heart and what every heart is going through and the struggles. But having talked with some folks, I think the devil, in fact, no, I don't think, I know the devil does not like what we're doing right here. God does. The devil is going to fight. And he's got all kinds of tactics and tricks up his sleeve. And if you try to wrestle him in your own strength, man, we're not going to make it. But if you will say, all right, Lord, you told me last year that I need to run the race. But now this year, you're telling me I need to be still. That doesn't mean that you just stop and stand still and stop running. No, run the race, but don't run it at your own pace. Don't run it in your own power. Run it in His power. Being still and knowing. And then when those troublesome times come, you can rest assured, just like me. All of us can rest assured that He is that very present help in trouble. Don't run the race at your own pace. Don't run it in your own power. And lastly, can I say this? Don't run it for your own purpose. Do not join Stack Force so you can stand up and show everybody else, I'm on Stack Force. Do you know what Stack Force is? Servants. Do you know what ministry is? Servant. Amen. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ came not to be ministered unto, but to minister? Servants. Do not surrender to God to be a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist, some full-time service. Now, that could be a bad soundbite right there, right? Somebody could edit that out, and I'm saying don't surrender. But here's the unedited version, all right? Don't surrender so you can accomplish your own purpose. Do it so you can accomplish His purpose. Amen. He has a purpose for every single one in this room. And you know what? I don't care how young or how old, there is still a purpose that God has for you. You say, well, you know, I'm up in years and, you know, I've fulfilled my purpose. You know, when the Lord is done with you and when your purpose is done, He'll take your breath. Amen. He has something for each of us to do, no matter what our age is. How awesome would it be if everybody in the room, every single person, surrendered to His purpose for their life? What could a group this size do for the Lord if everyone was surrendered to His purpose? Don't run the race at your own pace. Don't run the race in your own power. And definitely don't run the race for your own purpose. Joseph, again, that character that I love. Have you ever caught this, that when Joseph interprets the dream and tells Pharaoh that somebody should be set up to oversee the grain and all of that stuff, he doesn't say, and you know what, Pharaoh, I have the perfect person for that position, me. He just says, look, this is the interpretation that God has given. God has given you a vision of the future. And you need to set someone up that is wise and can set and be overseer of that. So when the famine comes, the grain does not run out. And God uses Joseph because he's still in mind and heart, whether he's in the pit and sold into slavery, whether he's in prison for doing what's right. God ultimately brings him to the palace, not because he said, you know what, I've always wanted to be in the palace, I've always wanted to be in charge, and so therefore I should, no, don't get into ministry, don't surrender to God's will, and don't surrender to God's work, just so you can be in charge. Do it to fulfill God's purpose. Amen. Have a servant's heart. Whether you're on Stack Force or you're not on Stack Force, man, you see a piece of trash on the sidewalk, pick it up. Amen. Well, I'm not on Stack Force. I'm not part of the SOS. That's their job. That's Northland's job. It's trash. Pick it up. Be a servant. And you know, let God direct your steps. Be still and know that He is God while still running that race. If we try to run it at our own pace, if we try to run it in our own power, and we try to run it for our own purpose, it's going to fail. But if we will run God's pace and be patient, and no matter what struggles come, we rest in His power, and we do it for His purpose, and we say, all right, Lord, there have been times where it's been less troublesome and more enjoyable to serve. Right now, it's difficult to serve. But Lord, I'm not doing it for comfort. I'm not doing it for compliments. I'm doing it because You've commanded me to do it. And I want to do it for Your purpose. Man, if we had a group of people that was sold out like that, I think we could be like the disciples and turn the world upside down. Would you stand with me and we'll close in prayer? Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for the opportunity. Lord, I believe this is what You wanted me to share with the folks, with Your teens, with Your people. And Lord, my words mean nothing. Your word means everything. And so, God, I pray that You would touch hearts, that You would help us to have an attitude of servant, of a servant. Lord, that we would have that mind of Christ. Lord, you were servant to all. And so, God, I pray that You'd work in the hearts. As the pianist begins to play,